young people are leading the service, and we're going to be talking about our time at Dane Hill. But before that, we're going to talk about notices, because we've got to do that. On the 5th of October, it's International Day. So after the morning service, bring and share foods of the world. So like, I think just wherever you're from, like, bring foods for that. If you're interested, see Irene. And if you can't find Irene, find Rob, because he's got the number of Irene. So yeah. Emily's going to tell us a little bit about what Dane Hill is.
So Dane Hill is a Christian youth camp for young people aged 14 to 18 that we go on every summer as a youth group. And we hosted a bake sale earlier in the year to raise money for it. And yeah, we do lots of crafts, games, sports, worshipping Jesus, obviously. And yeah, so one of the things we do to start the meetings at Dane Hill is we play a game. So I want everyone to get on their feet, please.
Oh, you get.
Yep. Everyone on their feet. And we're gonna play a game of heads or tails. So I'm gonna flip a coin, and if you think, before I flip it, if you think it's gonna be heads, you need to put your hands on your head. If you think it's gonna be tails, you need to put your hands behind your back, okay? So, we'll do one practice round. If you get it wrong, you're out. So if you get it wrong, you need to sit down. Okay, we'll do one practice round and then we'll be playing for real. So, I need you to guess, is it gonna be heads or is it gonna be tails? Okay. It is heads. So if you guess tails, you would sit down, but you need to stand back up because that was just practice.
Sit down. Yeah.
Now we're playing for real. So do you think it's going to be heads or do you think it's going to be tails? You play too. It is tails. So if you guess heads, sit down. Do you think it's going to be heads or do you think it's going to be tails? It is heads. Okay. Heads or tails? Heads. Philip and Jill, do you want to come out to the front? And you can do it from the front.
No.
You have to guess, but it has to be different. Yeah. So one of you needs to be tails, one of you needs to be heads. Can we get a drum roll, please? It is tails! We don't have a prize. Prize is knowing that you won.
Yeah. Grand prize. Anyway, so now we're gonna go into two songs of worship. So can the band please stand up? Thank you.
Can you all please stand up? We're going to sing some songs.
We made it.
Oh,
to the young people, I think.
Sorry guys, we're just collecting the people for the next part.
I'm inviting us up, aren't you? We're going to invite Peace, Joel, Isabel, Flory, and we're going to have a couple videos of people feeding back from Dane Hill.
One of my highlights from Dane Hill was getting to see friends, because one of the special things about it is that you get to create friendships with people that you just don't have at home, and you don't get to see them all the time, and it's just a really special time to be able to spend a week with them, having fun and praising Jesus too.
That was also similar for me, making new friends. As it was my first time, it was really nice to meet new people and just be around other fellow Christians.
One of my highlights was going on Bible study walks with my friends, and it was really motivating because we had all of us were like talking about the things we're reading about and asking each other questions.
One of my highlights was the really random conversations you have with people, because you're with these people for like a week. So like when you're sitting down, before you have meals, while you're waiting to bat in rounders, you just end up talking to these people and you have some really great conversations with them. And yeah, that was one of my highlights.
Hi, my name is Tawana, and I attended Dane Hill Week 3. I think my favourite memory, my favourite highlight from Dane Hill has got to be Dane Fest, which was like a mini little festival for us, just had games and activities and a little bit of a party. And yeah, I think that was my favourite bit of the week. I think just, you know, celebrating, having fun with the new friends that I'd made during the week, and also strengthening the friendships I already had here in the church, and, you know, just getting to know people better. And I also enjoyed the morning and evening services as well. I think I really learned a lot and I gained a lot from those services as well. And it was just fun to be there at Dane Hill, and I will definitely be there again next summer.
Hello, I'm Ben. My highlight of Dane Hill was the paddleboarding, which was very good, and also the food, which was very, very yummy. I very much enjoyed the workshops as well, and yeah, and I loved the worship as well. That was really good atmosphere. Yes.
Okay, so we're gonna sing a couple more worship songs, so if you would like to stand, and I'll invite the band up too.
My firm foundation.
you want to take a seat? And I'm going to invite Marta, Io, Annie, Quinn, Alicia and Sam to share about Dane Hill.
My highlight from Dane Hill was meeting other young people that were Christians, and I feel like it was really nice being surrounded by that. So you guys really understood each other and like knew what each other were going through, because you were at like the same stage of life. And even though we were all going on different journeys, we all like kind of got each other in a way. And my other favorite part was just all the fun times we had. Like there were so many jokes made and the dorm rooms, it was just really fun to be with like other people and make new friends and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm Annie, and like this is a very stereotypical answer, but I just really loved all of it. I really loved singing in like the band because it really grew my confidence. But like I think the thing I loved about it most is like the people you meet and like the really strong friendships you make from it. Yeah, we had a lot of fun times, especially dorm time was pretty crazy at times as well.
My name's Alicia, and I like making friends and growing my strength in God.
My name's Sam, and I think, oh wow, that was loud. My favourite bit was probably washing up, which sounds a little bit bizarre, but in dorm groups when it was your turn to wash up, it was actually a lot of fun. Someone would always have like a JBL speaker playing some really nice worship songs, and I came away with some really strong friendships because of that, and also a better taste in Christian music, yeah.
Yeah, I'm Quinn, and I really just love the worship. So in the morning and evening meetings, we just do worship every day, and the band's always great, and you can get involved in the band. One night we did a extended worship under the stars. There was a meteor shower, and we were just out there all worshiping. It was lovely.
Hey, my highlight from Dane Hill was just being with people that are more Christian friends than I usually have in Biggleswade and my daily life, being away from distractions and really focusing on like being with Christ and walking around my friends on the grounds, and we're creating pictures and stuff. It was really fun.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I'm going to hand over to Marta to do the next little bit of our service.
So what we're going to do now is a type of prayer. It stands for TSP, which means thankful, sorry, and please. So you start off with what you're thankful for, then you go on to what you're sorry for, and then you go on to what you ask God for. So I'm just going to say it, and then I'm going to leave a moment of silence for you guys to either pray out loud or pray in your head. Okay? So we're going to start off with thankful. Now we're going to move on to the sorry part. So you just pray to God of anything you're sorry for. Yeah. Now the last part is please. So anything you want to ask God for, anything you want him to do in your life that you feel you need God's blessing over it. Amen. So now we're going to move on. I'm going to invite Flory up to talk about her song that she wrote in Dane Hill when there was like a songwriting kind of workshop that you could do, and Flory made a song. So I'm going to invite her up to talk about her song. Where is she?
So there was a songwriting workshop, and we started writing some just basic verses and stuff. And they were like, oh, what if you actually made it into a song? So I took it a bit further, and I had help from this leader. And I wouldn't technically call it mine, because we did do it together, and it was more of a joint effort. But, I'm really proud of it. And I think it portrays sort of losing your faith through like grief and stuff, and still being able to hold on to faith and yeah, so.
Yeah, we're gonna go sing it now. So can everyone please stand while we sing? It sounds just as good as it sounded the first time when we heard it at Dane Hill. Now we're going to have some videos from various leaders at BBC that were at Dane Hill who for various reasons can't be here. So yeah, feel free to watch the screen.
Hi, my name is...
Hello.
Hi. Hi. Hi, I'm Amy and I went as a leader to Dane Hill this year, and my highlight of the week was the late night worship where we were able to sit under the stars and worship the God who created them all.
Hi, I'm Becca, and I think a highlight of Dane Hill this year was definitely the trip to Eastbourne. I also loved getting to catch up with my friends and meet lots of new people. This was my first time leading, and I think it was just a really lovely week and a really lovely chance to explore my gifts in a leadership capacity specifically and just learn to love people as Jesus loved them, which was so cool.
Hello, Big.
Hi, my name's Grace.
Hello, Biggles Wade. For those who don't know me, I'm Ewan. This year I had the honour and privilege of being able to lead at Dane Hill for the first time, which was just amazing. As always, Dane Hill this year, the food was amazing. I love playing the sport. And yeah, the young people and the leadership team was amazing as a combination. My main highlight and my main takeaway is just getting to be a part of it and getting to, in some way, shape the lives of the young people was just the members. It was just amazing. Because being a leader, you have your own dorm, who you have dorm time with every night, and you get to experience their journey with them throughout the week, and that was just a real privilege for me. And yeah.
Hi, my name's Grace. I went to Dane Hill as a leader. My favourite highlight was seeing the young people become more confident in who Jesus is. Seeing them get up on the stage, leading worship, leading prayer workshops was super inspiring, super encouraging, and yeah, really touched my heart. It was such a blessing to be a part of.
Hello, my name is Hannah, if you don't know me, and I went to Dane Hill this year as one of the leaders. My highlight from the week was one of the prayer meetings, which we do every evening, and it's run by either one of the leaders or like a group of members. And my favourite one was one where we did like a Lectio Divina style session where we just did lots of like deep breathing, and the leader read a psalm over us a couple of times. And yeah, a couple of the leaders may have fallen asleep. I did hear some snoring. But yeah, it was just a really kind of a good reminder that we can take rest and refuge in God. And yeah, in a really busy schedule at Dane Hill and just life in general, yeah, it was good to just take that time out and spend about 20 minutes in God's presence, just in a, like a really chilled environment. Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and it's something that I'm trying to implement into my life outside of Dane Hill as well. Bye.
That's flickery. Okay, ready.
Hi, my name's Libby. I also went to Dane Hill and helped in the kitchens. Cooking's not my strong point, but there was always veg to prep, fruit salad to make, washing up, bins to empty. It was a lot of hard work, but it was great fun too, and it was really good being part of the teenagers hearing more about Jesus.
Great, sorry about that. Should we take Libby off to scream? Lovely, okay, so just to say, I think Libby works the hardest out of everyone there. Being in the kitchen is so hard. So if you are interested in coming to serve in a camp which clearly provides a lot of really great faith encouragement for teenagers, then please do come and chat to me about it. A few of us are wearing Dane Hill merchandise. Libby was wearing one in the video too, so shout out to that, because one of our people here, Hannah, helped design them, which is really, really cool. So I'm here to share my favourite point on Dane Hill as well, and I think it's worth mentioning. There's lots of really good stuff. I think what the young people have done an excellent job, but you can't quite grasp it until you come, really, and experience what happens. But there's so much good quality teaching, quality worship, quality workshop that is all really, really good. And alongside that, there's loads of fun elements as well, lots of sport and craft and stuff like that. I don't think really there is a part of it that you will not enjoy. I think you'll come along if you're a teenager and you'll really, really enjoy it. So the dates are already decided for next year. Come talk to me, we'll get you booked in. It'd be great if you are age 14 to 18, come next summer. So my personal highlight of the week was my dorm group. We talked a bit about dorm groups. That's a little small group that you have in the evening, and you just chat to them. our very own Joel was in my small group. Thank you, Joel, you were great. And I really enjoyed seeing a change in some of the other boys that we had throughout the week, kind of seeing what their hearts was like, a bit hardened at the start, and how they softened throughout the week. And I just think that was a really great privilege for me to be a part of in their own faith journeys that week. But what also really, really encouraged me throughout this week was going with a lot of our previous young people who came back as leaders. So lots of the people on the video that you saw. I think I've been here 7 years now, I've done 7 years, and to see them kind of go through the youth group, go off to university and flourish, and then come back to Dane Hill and serve was really, really good. And really, really encouraging, really. There might have been a couple of new romances growing as well, so watch this space. And seeing kind of just how their confidence grew, not only the leaders, but also the members as well. So I think it's really, really good. Yeah, if you want to know more about Dane Hill, come speak to me. It'd be a really great opportunity if you want to come serve or whatever. You don't have to feel like you are naturally inclined to be with teenagers or whatever, but yeah. Also, wider stuff is, if you've enjoyed what you've seen here and you want to support the ministry that we do here, Biggleslade Baptist Church for the young people, we actually really appreciate volunteers to do our youth groups, we really do. And one of our groups on a Sunday morning for the younger teenagers has a space for it. I've been screamed at. From January, because one of our other fantastic leaders is moving on, stepping down. So please do check out the notice sheet because there's more information on that. But really do have a think about it, have a pray about it. If you think you could be the right person, I'm looking for someone maybe 2 weeks every other month. So hopefully not a big commitment. And I've got to tell you, if I'm really honest, often I come away more blessed leading these groups than the kids I do it for, which may be questionable, but still, like, it's really good for me to be a part of. So yeah, thank you very much. Can you all just give the young people a round of applause, please? I'd like to invite the band up. We're going to sing one final song. Once the song is finished, the children and the young people are going to leave to their groups, and all the music that has been decided today has been picked by either the young people or myself or Simon, except for the last song. I have no idea what that is. Stand up, please. Let's all sing if you can. Thank you.
please take your seats for a moment. No one's going out just yet. Guys, thank you for sharing with us all the stuff from Dane Hill this morning. I was really disappointed, though, that no one said their favourite moment of the week was when I came down to visit. Come on. It was lovely to be able to go down and spend the best part of a day down at Dane Hill, seeing these guys in their natural environment. And particularly, a couple of things really struck me. One is, as Rob's already said, about those of our youngsters who've come through as, I think what they call members, aren't they, at Dane Hill, come through as members who are now leaders, who we saw on the screen. That's just fantastic in itself and just really encouraging. But also, when I was there, most of the worship band was made up of our young people, which was just fantastic. It was so good to see. I can't remember exactly everybody who was there, so I'm not going to go and throw out names on that, but just lovely to look at there and see, oh, they come to BBC. They come. Oh, we've got a lot of people in the band. That's really good. And while I was there as well, Ben Mooring and Io both got to share their testimonies. And I was incredibly impressed with the depth and the maturity and the clarity of that as well. You know, we have got a wonderful group of young people here. I wish I'd come down to Dane Hill before, but they always chose Dane Hill when Ali booked our family holiday for us. So I obviously couldn't go against Ali and go away on holiday, not go away on holiday. She said it's not true, but there we go. But it's just so good to go down and see you guys enjoying yourselves, growing, and to sit on a leaders' meeting where they talk about you all as well, and to hear the lovely things they had to say about you too. So I just wanted to add my own positive message to that, really. And if you've got a young person who's coming up to the age of 14 or who is between 14 and 18 who hasn't been, do want to encourage them to go. And I really do just have to say, Florrie, what an amazing talent you've got. What a gift from God. I think that's a song, If You'll Let Us, We'll Sing Again. So it's really spoke to so many people here this morning about that. I'm really grateful to God. Yeah, give her another round of applause. And as I go, just have a look at how many young people we've got, and perhaps pick on the back of one of their heads and just pray for them as they go out, that they may encounter God and be blessed this morning. And it'd be great too if we could encourage our young people to sit at the front on that side in the future. Because I just heard the young voice choir coming across. It was really good, rather than hiding at the back, like you normally do. Fantastic. Have we got anybody coming in from the overflow? Anybody coming in? Don't look like it. Okay. Cool. So if you were here last week, you'll remember that we spent some time thinking about our priorities at the start of a new church year and how the call for us as believers is to make our relationship with God our number one priority, to build up treasures in heaven and to follow Jesus' instruction to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the other things we need will be given to us. And you might remember that we spoke about you can't serve two masters. We have to choose one and not let another take his place. And the encouragement, of course, at the end of the service was to make sure we have chosen and acknowledged and recognised that God is our master. This week, we're going to have a quick dive into the early church. I've got a reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, if you want to follow it. It's on the home screen of my mobile phone. I don't know where it's going to be for you. But Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, it's headed the fellowship of the believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Sounds like a really exciting time to be part of church, although I suspect many of us would think they met daily. They met every day for church. Yeah, we can manage once a week, that's okay. Again, in Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35, together with these verses, we're shown what a church that has its priorities right looks like. This is some of the outpouring of making sure that God is number one in our lives. And we have, there's four things in particular here. First one, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to God's word. They were devoted to having it expounded and explained to them. They were devoted to fellowship, to belonging to one another. They were devoted to breaking bread, what we call communion, and to prayer, which in turn fueled a powerful evangelistic outreach that saw many people being added to the church every single day. What a time that must have been. Now, there's four really important things there for us to look at, but today I'm just going to focus in on one of them in the context of the life of our church and our time here in Biggleswade in 2025. And if you look more closely at the passage, you'll notice there's lots of plurals going on. There's the believers gathered together. They did this. They did that. They spoke to one. A real emphasis on unity and love for Christ in community, in the community of the church, all together. It's clear from this that a God-focused church doesn't have any Lone Ranger Christians. We're not designed to be Christians on our own. We're designed to be Christians as part of a wider church family. A wider church family who are committed both to God and to each other in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because actually, if you look around, I've said this before, but if you look around any church, you'll see a group of people who, there is no other place that we would all be in the same place together. Let's be honest. Because of our different backgrounds, ages, experiences, likes and dislikes, all those sorts of things. The church is the only place that brings such an interesting, some would say motley, group of people together to share. I want us to focus on that this morning, what many call the common life of the church. That doesn't mean it's kind of not very refined or a bit rough around the edges. It means the life that the church has in common. The fact that they regularly met together, they ate together, they shared together, they helped each other out. They recognised that every single person in the fellowship was important and valued by God, no matter who they were, no matter their age or their gender or their background. And that unity and purpose in faith was everything to them. They shared out their possessions together. They gave to those in need and they cared for those who were isolated or in difficulty. So much so that people outside the church noticed and wanted to get in on this wonderfully loving and inclusive community that was so different from everything else they could see around them. That was then. How does this work out in our context today? Well, first of all, I want to repeat what I've said on many occasions over the last few years, is that one of the things I love about this church is that we enjoy being together. I know that because sometimes we have to kick some of you out at 1:30, 1:45 after a morning service. We enjoy being together to worship, and we also seem to like each other as well. Or there's enough of us that like each other to make it worthwhile. That doesn't always happen in churches, sadly. It's one of the things that struck Ali and I when we first came here And even after 7 years of me being here, it's still strong, for which I thank God for. But is that as far as our common life goes? That we're happy to see each other on a Sunday. We're happy to chat with each other over a coffee or a tea, and if you get out there in time, a biscuit. Or is there more to it than that? And I think the challenge today for us is to look into the, is there more to it? Because we live in a time when individuality is promoted and praised. We live in a time where self-reliance is seen as a quality to attain, and looking after number one is a mantra in our society. If you want it, you like it, you do it, doesn't matter what effect it has on somebody else. And we see that at a local level, we see it at a national level, and boy, do we see it at an international level. Sadly, we can see it in churches as well. And you're all going, not here, surely not here. You know, we're the perfect church with the perfect minister and the perfect worship group and all that stuff. But here's a question. Before this service, you don't have to put your hands up. This is kind of a, I'm going to ask the question. I want you to think honestly about it. If you're new, you're excused these because you haven't had time to get part of the church yet. But here's the question. How many of us knew that the youth had been away for a camp this summer? Oh, look at that. When you tell them they don't have to raise their hands, they do. Right, reverse psychology. Make a note of that for me, Simon, please. Right, when we sing this next song, we're not going to raise our hands. That's good. Over half of us knew. Now, how many of those of you who put your hands up are parents of children who went? There we go. About half of the half. Okay, good. How many of us know the names of those youngsters who went? Apart from your own kids. Honestly. And again, apart from those who had children on the camp, Rachel and Sue, I'm looking at you. How many of us have spoken to them about it since they've been back? How many of us regularly pray for our young people, for their leaders and for their faith? How many of us take an interest in what the youth do here at Biggleswade Baptist Church? Now, I'm picking on them because they've led the service this morning and they're uppermost in our minds. But what I've just said could apply to any of the groups or the ministries or the activities that go on in this church. How invested are we in other areas of the church where we're not directly involved? If we haven't got a teenager in our family, if we're involved more in the older age range or the younger age range, how invested are we? How much do we know about the wider ministry and activities and lives of other people in this church? I think many of us could struggle to answer that question because generally speaking, unless a group affects us personally, we don't make much of an effort to find out what's going on. I remember when Ali and I used to lead a youth group back in the prehistoric ages at a church up in Peterborough. And the only time the youth group came to the wider church's notice was if somebody found scuff marks on a wall or somebody thought someone was being too noisy. Both times it was me, absolutely. And I think that's really sad. And whether we don't register any of the things that go on in the life of the church until there's a problem or whatever, I think that's really sad. The first church, they were completely invested in everything that went on. They knew one another. They spent time getting to know them. Why do we have to go away on a camp to get to know somebody better who we see every week? Slight diversion. Recently, I saw a comedy routine about men's brains and women's brains. Uneasy laughter goes round the room. What's he going to say? You can actually find it on Facebook, although I'm sure other platforms are also available. Just type in men's brains and women's brains into the search bar, and you should get some pastor guy come up, and he's got two pillars, but one with a man with his brain open, not a real man, one with a bust of a man with his brain open, and one with a bust of a woman with her brain open. And he talks about men's brains and women's brains, and he does it so much better than I'm about to. But basically, he says that men's brains are full of boxes, and each box contains information about one subject, one thing. I don't know why the wives are starting to smirk, because I haven't come on to you yet. And none of those boxes ever touch the other boxes. They are completely separate. And he even says there's one box with nothing in it. Can I hear an amen? So, also, these boxes never touch each other. So, men, when we're having a discussion, we'll find the particular box and we'll pull it out and we'll talk about what's in the particular box. Then we'll put it back and we'll move on to something else. Women's brains, on the other hand. I'm not going to repeat what you just said, John, because it might get you lynched on the way out. Women's brains are full of links and connections with lots of crisscrossing wires and so on, where everything's all mixed up together, everything matters, and everything needs to be known and shared. And he said, this is why women remember everything. Especially what their man has done wrong. Which is taken down, stored, and brought out as evidence for the prosecution at a later date. The point of this, there is a point. Church needs to run on the model of the woman's brain. I didn't hear any manly ums at all then. They were all quite high-pitched. Because in a church under God, we are told, and we need to see and realise that everything matters and everything relates to everything else, so that we're all invested in what goes on, even if we're not directly involved or affected by it. It's what Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about us being the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play in it. And he talks about the more presentable parts and the less presentable parts. And we all then go on, oh, what am I, sort of thing. But if you don't think you're important enough to take this on, if you don't think that it matters to you, think about how much it hurts when you break a fingernail, when you stub your toe or tread on Lego, or get toothache. Very small parts of the body, but the whole body knows about it when these hurt. And Paul even goes on to say, if one part of the body suffers, the whole of the body suffers. So the body, hopefully, if your body works properly, it's all interconnected. Yeah? You've only got 10 toes and 10 fingers, and a finger's not a toe, and an armpit's not an elbow, and stuff like that. But they're all crucial to the operation of the body. And the point Paul is trying to make, and the point I'm trying to make using this illustration, is that if we are to be a church where God is our priority, we need to be invested in what God is doing and invested in each other. Now, this isn't a snooper's charter to go and get lots of goss or anything, but it's an encouragement to have real relationships with other people that reflect the real love that God has for us individually and corporately. And if God is our priority, his family becomes our priority. And here's the challenge, here's where the rubber hits the road. Getting to know each other properly. Going up to someone whose name we don't know and saying, I don't think we've met properly. I'm whoever, who are you? What do you like? Why are you here? Well, I'm paid to be, I don't know about you lot, but things like that, to actually get beyond the surface of what we tend to do in a church, which is, hello, good morning, how are you? And the reply is, hello, good morning, fine, thanks. How's about stopping and listening to an answer? I decided years ago, because this really annoyed me at my last church, much worse than it is here. People would ask how you were without wanting to hear the answer. That got a good laugh, didn't it? So when somebody asked me how I was, I started telling them. And they stopped asking me how I was. The point is, if we're going to ask someone how they are, we need to be prepared to at least look like we're listening to the answer. Now, I know there are some people who that's a little bit dangerous to ask them because you could be there for half an hour going through a whole list of ailments and things like that. But you tend to get to work out who they are and then you just avoid them. No, you don't. No. Oh, dear. And when we start to get to know each other better, we find that there are ways that we can support one another better. And that's one of the root things in this word fellowship, koinonia, the Greek word is. It's about belonging to one another. It's about loving one another. Jesus even says in John chapter 13, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. What comes next? If you love one another, yeah. Not if you sing the latest worship song, not if you denounce dodgy churches, not if you have a certain political interest, not if you have a certain doctrinal viewpoint, not even if you have an amazing preacher every week. No? Okay, we're all right on that one then. But if you love one another. And that word love there is agape love. It's the same love that Jesus shows us in his death and resurrection. Unconditional, sacrificial love. I've mentioned this already, but I think that starts with a choice. Yeah? There's a song by a guy called Don Francisco who, I don't even know if he's still alive now. He looked quite old when I heard his music in the 80s. But he talks about love is not a feeling, it's an act of the will. Society tells us love is something we feel, and when we stop feeling it, that must mean we don't love the person anymore, so let's go and find somebody else. That's one reason why there's so many divorces and so many broken relationships in our world. But the Bible teaches us very clearly, love is a choice. We choose to love and we choose this agape love that Jesus chose to love us with. So that's the first point. Can we choose to do that? Second point, can we choose, and this is really scary if you're English particularly, okay, to go up to somebody who we don't know and introduce ourselves? Or if that's really hard, send your wife in first or your husband in first and then sidle up and join in the conversation. That's what I've done for the last 25 years. And then what's the next step? Well, do you fancy getting a coffee? Jones's is really good. Other coffee shops are available. Why don't you come round for a meal? Maybe after church on Sunday, invite someone back for lunch. Probably best to say, what are you doing next week, rather than come back today. But invite them to lunch. Get to know them. The youngsters were saying, you know, we get to know people when we're eating together and doing stuff like that. There's even a word for it. It's called table fellowship. That's that fellowship again. I have a confession to make here. I'm binge-watching a TV series at the moment called Blue Bloods. Has anybody else ever seen that? Oh, you're missing a treat. It's got Tom Selleck in it. It's got some other people in it whose names I can't remember. But it's really good. It's about an American family with two or three generations of police officers in, and pretty much every episode ends with them eating together round a table. And they say, you know, the meals aren't really about the food, although the food's great. The meals are about keeping in touch and getting to know each other and what's going on in our lives. I thought that was quite profound. And as we get to know one another better, it's easier to share when we were in difficulty or in trouble. One of the saddest things I've encountered in nearly 30 years of ministry is people in the church who hit trouble, whose first reaction is to run away from the church, is to isolate themselves, is to cut off the very support system that we're supposed to be for one another. That's really sad. But what's also really sad is that we seem to think that when we come to church, we need to let other people know we've got it all together. And that if we actually admit we're struggling, people might get a bit judgy. I thought that only happened in Bible college, that if you admitted you were struggling, they'd kick you off the course or even the course. But something amazing happens when people realise that you're not perfect, that you suffer, that you struggle with things as well. Think, oh, this person's human. And I don't want anyone to feel judged by anybody else in this church because they're going through a tough time. You're having a tough enough time already. And we're here to help, and we're here to get alongside you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to look for ways we can help. Don't cut yourself off. And if you're going through a hard time now, please do let us know. And because we're developing relationships with each other, it becomes more natural. It feels a bit weird. Someone says, I'm having a difficult time. Well, go and see the pastor. That's a bit like go and see the headmaster, isn't it? Some people. The number of times I've said, can I see you in my office? Oh, what have I done wrong? Nothing. Most of the time. But if we develop these relationships around meals and getting to know each other, it becomes much easier to become aware of a need. I've been in churches where someone's been in hospital for 2 or 3 weeks and nobody's known because they haven't told anybody. Then they complain that nobody's been to visit them. I've had a really good look at the gifts of the Spirit, and being psychic is not one of them. The early church, they pooled their resources. They were generous with their possessions. They held lightly to their money so they could meet the need of other people in the fellowship. What needs might we have in our church today that we don't already address, maybe through food bank and things like that? Something as simple as lending a lawnmower, maybe. Or something more substantial, helping someone out with a legal difficulty or a health difficulty or a financial difficulty. If we have been blessed with the resources, how can we share that with one another? And how can we help other people if other people don't tell us that they're struggling? There is no shame in struggling. It's part of life. And Jesus doesn't promise us a struggle-free life. And if you've ever heard that, that is a false teaching, and you need to forget about it. Because life is difficult. We still get sick. We still have job problems. We still have relationship problems. We're no different to other people in that aspect. But the one way we are different is that we are a community of people who have put God first, who are seeking God's presence, and hopefully seeking to love one another in the name of Jesus. There's hardly ever a message that I give that doesn't have a quote from Tom Wright in, and here it comes. The early church was known for both hospitality and generosity, and Tom Wright says this. He says, there is an attractiveness, an energy about a life in which we stop clinging to everything we can get and start sharing it, giving it away, celebrating God's generosity by being generous ourselves. And that attractiveness is one of the things that draws other people in. So, as we draw to a close, how generous are we with what we have? How generous am I? How generous are you? How generous are we as a church with what we have? With our time, our possessions, our money. Are we secure enough as part of this family that when we face difficulties, we're not afraid to ask for help? Do we hold on tightly to the things God has blessed us with? Or do we hold them loosely so others can share the blessing? What steps can we take to be more connected with what goes on in the wider church family through the week? I'll give you a head start on this one. We have a church website. Who's been on the church website in the last 4 weeks? That's more than I thought, but still a lot less than all of us who are here. Church website is a great place to go to find out what's going on. Or if you know someone who's involved in a particular ministry, whether it's youth or early years or senior citizens or running the small group program or whatever, go and talk to them. Join a small group, because then you've got an instant community of around about 10 people who you can get to know and invest in that way. It's really hard to invest in someone when all you see is the back of their head. Jesus calls us to a common life based around our faith in him. A common life that goes beyond turning up on a Sunday, singing songs and hoping Martin doesn't preach for too long and really hoping that Martin doesn't mention football or golf or anything like that. Jesus calls us to be a true community that reflects his love, his grace, his generosity, his forgiveness and his joy, plus a whole load of other things. And that is precisely the sort of community desperately needed in our rapidly fragmenting world. So we've made a good start here, but could it be that God is calling us to take the next step to go deeper with him and with each other? What's he saying to you and to me right now about how we could do that? Let's be quiet before God for a moment, then I'll lead us in a prayer, and then we'll sing our final song. Jesus, we thank you that you are devoted to us. Thank you that you showed that in your life, your death, your resurrection, and your continued interceding for us now at the right hand of the Father. Thank you that you create in us a community that is different because at the core of it is your presence and your love. Please help us to build and to deepen that sense of community here, to get to know one another better. And not just people who look the same or think the same as us, but people who have different ideas, but people with whom we are united in our faith in Christ. May people know that we are your disciples because of our love for each other. And Lord, if we are in difficulty right now, if we are struggling, please help us not to keep it to ourselves, but to share it and as a church to respond and to help. Forgive us for holding on tightly to stuff that you have given us, whether that's money or things or time or skills, and help us to offer up our bodies as living sacrifices to you as our act of worship, because ultimately nothing else matters, only loving you and loving each other. Jesus, you said the greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind and all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself. Would you please give us the grace, the desire and the strength to do that, to bring honour and glory to you, to see everything else as nothing compared to our relationship with you, and through that, our relationship with each other. In your name we pray. Amen. Apparently, I've chosen a really old song to finish with. So old that Esther's had to come and play the piano for it. Because she's a similar age to me and she knows it. Nothing else implied. I'll just put that box back now. Hang on. On we go.
Lock that one.
Lock that one. Song that talks about there is nothing compared to knowing Jesus, and a song that says I'm prepared to give all of that up in order to make you my priority. I think it was in the 1980s, this one, or the early 90s, so it's quite a long time ago, and it is Graham Kendrick, but they're great words. If you're able to sing it, please sing it, but if you're able to stand up, please stand up with us as well. Thanks, Esther.
Thank you.
So as is our practice, if God has spoken to you this morning or you've come with something on your heart that you'd like to receive prayer for, the prayer team will be down here at the front, or you can just turn to someone next to you if you know they're a Christian and start that process of getting to know one another and supporting one another in that way. But as we go from this place, may we go seeing Jesus clearly before us. May we go making him our priority. And may we lay down anything that is stopping us living the way that he wants us to live. May we hold on to our possessions and our time and our money loosely. And may we seek to live for the glory of God, for the furtherance of his kingdom, and for the return of Jesus, who promises that he will take us to be with him in the Father's house, where there are riches beyond our imagining. There is endless time to enjoy the goodness of God, and there is no sin or sickness or sorrow or sadness or death or dying. May we who follow him faithfully as his family in preparation for the future he has planned for us. And as we do, may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us all this day and every day. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Amen.